Good morning once again. Our scripture text is taken from the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 verses 4 and 5 will serve as our text this morning. We'll begin in verse 3, which is the beginning of that sentence. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before, in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now this week we begin a new series of sermons taken from the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Colossians, writing from house arrest in Rome at approximately 60 AD. Paul is writing first to encourage believers and second to remind the church of the headship and of the preeminence of Jesus Christ. That is the fact that Christ Jesus must be placed first. He must occupy the place of the center of everything we do. Let us never lose sight of why we gather here or who we worship. Apparently, the Colossians were prone to this kind of thing, and that prompted the Apostle Paul to write along these lines. Let us not think ourselves to be any different, but take heed to the warnings set forth in Scripture. Now, in our text, we have a picture of the gospel. The gospel as the cause, and the gospel in its effect. We see that the gospel is the cause, and that its effects are hope, faith, and love in the lives of those who eagerly receive it. We might look at it this way. At the top of our chart, we have the truth of the gospel up here. From there, those who receive the truth of the gospel have a hope in heaven. Those who have a hope in heaven have faith on one hand and love on the other hand. Now, when we read the fruits of the spirits, fruits of the Spirit, singular, excuse me, in Galatians chapter 5, we find that faith and love are two of the fruits of the Spirit. So we see that the fruits of the Spirit are evidence of salvation. How can we be sure that we're a child of God? Well, if we're a child of God, the fruits of the Spirit will be evident in our lives. This is what the Bible clearly teaches, the fruits of the Spirit as evidence of salvation and not some other thing. I've had cause on more than one occasion in the past couple of weeks to deal with the Pentecostal heresy and their adulteration of the gospel. The teaching, the false teaching goes like this, that you believe in faith, but the evidence of the belief is the speaking in tongues. The Bible teaches no such thing. The Bible is quite clear that the evidence of faith is the fruits of the Spirit. We have it here in the book of Colossians. Again, we have this paradigm, if you will, of truth of the gospel resulting in hope in heaven and manifesting itself in faith and love in the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Thessalonians. We have a very similar greeting. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, there it is, labor of love, there it is again, and patience of hope, and there it is again, in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. So in the sermon proper this morning, we're simply going to look at our text in these four pieces that are brought about. What I'm going to do is I'm going to present to you the truth of the gospel in a simple way using the words that the Apostle Paul has been divinely inspired to present to us. There ought to be no confusion. The gospel is so simple that even a child can understand it. God did not make it so hard that only the so-called learned could get their arms around it. The gospel is given for all. And if it's given for all, it's given in terms that all can understand. So we're going to begin with the cause and proceed to the fruits. First, we're going to look at the truth of the gospel. What is it? Secondly, what is our hope in heaven? Third, how does the Bible define faith? And fourth, how does the Bible define love? First, the truth of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the truth of the gospel. And then John goes on to explain the ramifications for that. In other words, this being true, what does this mean for me? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you don't have a place in heaven, it's not because God is shutting you out. It's because you're shutting yourself out. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So why do people shut themselves out? Because they're having a good time in their sinful lifestyle. Thank you very much. That's the truth. That's why people shut themselves out of heaven. Everything else is a smokescreen. When you do your evangelism, keep this in mind. What people are really doing is shutting themselves out because they like their sinful lifestyle too much. When men are not honest enough to admit that, what they're giving you is a smokescreen. But God's word tells you the truth, and you know what it is. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be exposed. Such a one has deluded themselves into thinking that God can't see through them, that God can't see through their sin and through their desires to indulge in it. Maybe I can't see through your sin, and that's all fine and good. I'm not even going to try. I'm going to take you at your word. But God can see through your sin. Ultimately, you're not accountable to me or any other man. You're accountable to God himself. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. God has done the work for you. More specifically, God the Son has done the work for you. Jesus Christ has done the work for you. What is left for you to do is simply to believe. And in doing so, you come to the light. This is all to the simple Bible truth of the gospel. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about, the truth of the gospel, which, as our brother shared last week, has been once for all delivered to the saints. A hope in heaven. We have in our text, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. In other words, because you've received the truth of the gospel, you have an assurance of a hope in heaven. What is this hope in heaven? Well, I'll let the scripture explain it to you. The words of Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me? Excuse me. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, in the way you know. What's the way? Through belief in Christ, coming to the Father through Jesus. Those who know the gospel to be true in their hearts have a home in heaven. This is the hope of the Christian. The hope is certain because it is based upon God's promises in His Word. And it's been sealed not only by God the Holy Spirit, but by the blood of God the Son. We do not have to guess or to be unsure about where we will spend eternity. Those who believe the gospel are absolutely assured of a place in heaven, and this place cannot be lost or taken away. Why? Because God's promises are sure. God has promised that those who believe have a home in heaven. If you believe you're saved, but you don't believe you have a home in heaven, go take it up with the Lord. For in claiming such a thing, you make God a liar. Third point this morning, faith. Faith is defined in Scripture as the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. In our text, we read of faith in Jesus Christ, in the fourth verse of our text. Faith involves trust. Therefore, Christian faith involves trust in Christ Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our faith being grounded in our heavenly hope for the Christian extends to trusting Christ in our earthly circumstances. Faith is the antidote. Faith is the medicine, as it were, for the sin of worry. We're commanded to cast all our cares upon God. Why? For He cares for you. What is worry but a refusal to depend upon God? If God can save your soul, God can get you through that trial that you're going through. love. In our text, this love is said to be for all the saints. We love Him because He first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Divine love, God's love for you, ought to make such an impression on your life that you reflect it towards others, especially those of the household of faith. There are plenty of opportunities for service, even in this, a relatively small congregation. Why do we gather together? Why do we exist as a church? Well, first of all, because Christ established His church, an ecclesia, a called out one. That's a word that would be used of a Roman gathering, or the Romans would go and they would call everybody together to the public square for a particular thing. Publius, the procurator, is coming to speak. Everybody come to the town square and hear what he has to say. So this is where we get that word ecclesia, where we get church from. So first of all, Christ wouldn't call us out for something and have us not go. First thing is obedience. The main thing, of course, is to worship God. God who gives us our breath 168 hours a week. So we give Him one. What is that to us? What sacrifice is this compared to Christ's sacrifice on the cross? And even more than that, how can we say we love our brother if we're not engaged in ministry to others who have the household of faith? The mission of the church is first and foremost to preach and proclaim the gospel, but also to be a vehicle for discipleship of those within her midst. There's no such thing as an island Christian. This is pride in disobedience to the clearly revealed will and commandment of God. My concluding exhortations are these. Christian, live like you have hope, and live out your faith in love, one towards another. Unbeliever, accept the truth of the gospel. Because if you don't accept the truth of the gospel, you are without hope. You stand condemned before the light of God, even today. And this faith and love is something that you cannot experience, because these are fruits of the Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit does not live in you. So, skeptic friend, pay no mind to cleaning the inside of the dish. Excuse me, I misspoke. Pay no mind to cleaning the outside of the dish, but clean the inside first, that the outside might be cleansed also. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for your truth. If there are any who needed to be spiritually awakened with regard to any of these things that you've spoken in your word, or any of the truth that has been set forth, Lord God, we trust you that you make it happen. Lord, quicken the hearts of any who might be in my hearing, who haven't accepted the truth of the gospel, and let today be the day. Let people see their procrastination and their false assurance for what it is. A road that will lead them to condemnation in an eternity of separation from you, O Lord. Heavenly Father, those who are of the household of faith, let us all say thank you. And not only say it, but live it. Living out the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. May we focus on these two, faith and love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.